Hi. Thank you all for coming today to listen to our presentations. My name is Andrea Guimond, and today I will not be focusing on any certain food. Instead, I'm focusing on a certain type of food and how poverty plays a role in it. Why does poverty exist? This is a question that can't be answered in a small nutshell. However, the effects of poverty that has on diets is something that can be pinpointed more easily. In the beginning of the 1880s, the first food bank opened in Edmonton, Alberta. The use of food banks was a stopgap measure in a time of economic uncertainty. The need for food banks continued, and this had grown into dependency from both the Canadian government and Canadian citizens. The government had implemented this in order to feed the nation's people who were in need. However, if we take a look at what is accessible at food banks, the type of food that is available is a temporary and yet potentially damaging fix. The high use of processed foods leads to many health concerns down the road. Some effects of consuming a diet consisting of a lot of processed foods include the many addictive agents in processed foods can cause one to overeat. Not having the adequate nutrition tricks your mind into thinking that you need more than you actually do. Linked to obesity, processed food contains high amount of additives, such as high fructose corn syrup, MSG, and artificial sweeteners. Processed foods quickly break down sugar, increase your insulin levels, and cause insulin resistance and weight gain. Along with that, it creates mood swings, memory problems, and even depression are often the result of a heavily processed food diet. The greatest concentration of serotonin, which is involved in mood control, is found in your intestines and not your brain. The issue of poverty includes the income that one receives. If we take a few steps back, we'll look at an experiment that has proved positive results regarding income and health. In 1974 to 1979, MINCOM was a guaranteed annual income experiment done in Dauphin, Manitoba. Families, both unemployed and the working poor, received an income supplement that allowed them to adequately meet the cost of living. Some of the facts included in the study are the rates of high school dropouts were reduced, the economic market was enhanced, hospital visits dropped by 8.5%, less work-related injuries, and a reduction in mental health-related issues. I interviewed Shauna McKinnon, who has a PhD and is an assistant professor at our university in the Urban and Inner City Studies Department. Shauna is also one of the editors of the book Social Determinants of Health in Manitoba. Her perspective and knowledge surrounding this issue was very insightful on many levels. One of the strong points that she stated in the interview was, those who are on the lower social economic status are going to have more difficulties. So, you know, we're going to see that when we're looking at an increasingly use of food banks. You know, the numbers just keep on going up. More and more people need to rely on food banks, so it's going to continue to be a problem if we don't start to ensure that people on the lower end of the income spectrum are getting more sufficient income, higher wages, more supports like childcare, those sorts of things. All make a difference in the terms of the amount of money that people have available to them to choose healthy food. The importance of all of this is that it comes down to the government having a huge role in both the income of Canadians and in the regulation of the food that we eat. It's appalling how such destructive foods are allowed to be part of Canadians' diets. These poor diets are often projected onto those who are stricken by poverty. If families had an adequate income, like they did in the MINCOM experiment, I am more than confident that we too would see a reduction in many of the same areas. A healthy diet would be one. Driving the health rate up would benefit many families' well-being, resulting in a happier and healthier society. Thank you.